Welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks for being here tonight on the big program. We're going to be talking about the theft of Saturday delivery. No more after August 1st. Evidently, the claim, no more Saturday delivery by the post office. We're going to talk about who did it, why they did it, and who's going to benefit from it. Also, guns, guns, guns galore. Since the people who ran the Harrisburg Outdoor Show, since they were strong-armed into canceling their event, how many jobs are going to be lost? What's that going to mean for the local economy? Did anybody think of that? Personally, I don't care if they canceled it or not. Just to be honest, I wasn't going anyhow. But it would have been good for the local economy, some revenue coming in. Gun nuts, let me let you in on something. Something I find fairly hysterical. You succeeded in banning all guns for the show. Congratulations. Well done. Victory for you. Pat yourselves on the back. Also going to talk about early childhood education, another story of government being taken over by ideologues, these same folks who are bent on destroying public education. Going to talk about that, and also public transportation, and more on the Corbett budget as his numbers fall. And this is, there's some calculus here, maybe Corbett isn't as the adult that we think he is. Maybe he's really a political genius. Maybe going after the wine and spirit shops to make sure that there's alcohol everywhere where we can get a bottle, a fifth of Jack right there next to the Tic Tacs and the impulse aisle. Maybe there's a master plan. Maybe the drunken populace. Maybe the drunken populace will save him in the face of his historically low approval numbers. Maybe when we get so liquored up and so drunk, it's fun for the guy with the white hair. Oh, big fun. Also going to take your calls, 1-888-520-RICK, 1-888-520-7425. You can also email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Yesterday, one of those days, again, that I go back and I am thankful that I am one of the folks who have health insurance. Sitting here before the showtime, and, these are these things that could happen to anyone. And this is why I think having every person with access to insurance, health care, with a doctor, this is why we need to change our system. I'm sitting here, and I have no idea what I've come in contact with. But all of a sudden, from the waist down, I am just covered with these big blotches. I had some really bizarre allergic reaction to something. And, my producer's like, go over to the emergency room. I'm like, no, I'll call my doctor. And I'll run over to the office and, he'll take care of it. Why do I want to go to an emergency room, spend $400,000 to $500,000 when I can go to the doctor, spend $10 out of my pocket and get a doctor visit? So why would I want to do that? And you think about these things that pop up and you go, we should be doing this as a nation. Everybody should have that access, that relationship with the doctor. And of course, we sat down and, he's going, this could be caused from this. And, we went through all the things it could be. And he's like, you're under a lot of stress. You do a lot of this and that. You had the thing over the summer, that I needed the health insurance for then. Maybe it's all part of it. He goes, you're not going to know what it is. It's just take some things. He gave me a couple of prescriptions and, it's fine. But I go back and I think, what if I didn't have insurance? And I think about the last 6-7 months. What if I didn't have health care? What would that mean? Well, it meant this last year, my family would be broke. And I think about that when I listen to the Republicans, when I listen to people say, well, you want to cover people, that's socialism. And then I have to remind them that any insurance product is basically socialism. Because you're socializing the risk, remember? The difference is that, in our version of socialism, the wealthy get wealthier. And the people who have the insurance, well, they get a little bit of protection, but it also costs them a lot more. And I go back and I think of, and I spend a lot of time thinking about my grandparents' generation, because we're really facing the same kind of thing. They say that, we've been out of recession for a while. I don't buy it. I don't buy that we're out of recession right now, because the reality is we still have millions of people who are out of work. And it's getting worse. And as the Republicans continue to push austerity, as they continue to push for pain, suffering, for slice and shrink and cut, gut, and punish policies, you know, the post office, for instance, another example of just wrong-headed thinking, going to cost us somewhere between 80 and 100,000 jobs.
But those aren't real jobs, Rick. Those are made-up, those are fabricated jobs.
Nonsense. A job is a job. And we had better start thinking like working people again. You know, I go back to when I started my first real job. I had a whole, from the time I was eight, I had a whole bunch of paper routes and odd jobs and all kind of, worked for a whole bunch of unscrupulous, idiotic, you name it, I worked for them. But my first real, this is my life kind of job. I got a job at a small trucking company in Cleveland, and one of the old timers took me aside. And he said, look, this is what you need to do. You need to not get used to the money that you make here, because you make fantastic money here, because the contract is a good contract. We get paid well for what we do. We get paid well for the education level and all of that stuff. And at the time, I think I was making 1988, 89, I was making like $16 an hour. That's back in 89. That's not adjusted for inflation, none of that stuff. It was $16 an hour, and eventually I think it was up to 19, if you got the top right. But he said, what you gotta do is you gotta take out a portion of that every week and set it aside. You need to have 6 months worth of money to live on. Because if you're going to be in the working class, if you're going to be the way he framed it was a good union person. You've got to be prepared at the drop of a hat to go out and fight for what it is that we have. You've got to go and stand on the picket line. You've got to go and you've got to be willing to say, I'm not doing this. We're going at any minute. Because the guy who owns the place has no problem with locking the door and telling you at any minute, game's over. So he says, look, you know, you don't want this. You never want to have a confrontation. You want everything to move smoothly. And I go back to some of the quotes of Samuel Gompers. You know, there's nothing, it should be criminal for a company that to not operate without making a profit. You know, a lot of things that say, you know, hey, we want harmony. But we also want some of what we create. Some of the wealth that is ours. And what's happened over the last 30 years is that thought process has really gone by the wayside. So when I saw this article someone sent me today about what's going on out in Illinois, the AFSCME workers out there are fighting for a contract with Governor Pat Quinn, who's a Democrat. So, you know, it's not all Republicans who are going after unions. It's some of the corporate Democrats, too. I go back to that old-timer. Because back in the old days, and this is what's really got me today and what's really kind of crawling under my skin, especially as you see this pension thing unfold here in Pennsylvania and the pension thing unfold there in Illinois, and you see all of this stuff going on, the old-timers of my grandfather's generation, they would take the younger guy, the new guy under his wing and say, we're gonna protect you. We're going to show you the ropes. We're in this together. Injury to one, injury to all, that stuff. Today what's going on, sadly, is we're willing to sell the next generation down the road. And corporations are thrilled to do it and want to do it because it creates division within the ranks. When you have two-tier wage systems, oh, we're going to move the next generation to a 401k. You know, all of this stuff. We're going to lengthen their vesting period. You know, screw those people down the road. And it's more of what we're doing here in Pennsylvania as well. I mean, the governor's... And his people, they're trying to drive that wedge between workers. And I go back to that old-timer who said the only people who are your friends are the guy standing next to you. The guy who's willing to go out and stand next to you on that picket line to fight for your family just as you're fighting for his. And as these 30,000 people out in Illinois potentially have to go to that picket line, potentially have to go on strike, they're going to need support from everybody. Because you know what? I've likened it to a shark tank. we're all in that shark tank. And it's just now it's one person's flavor of that month. Eventually it all comes back to us. Eventually the shark gets a taste for something else. And it becomes us. And if we're not prepared for that fight, if we're not willing to go to the mat, if we're not willing to stand up, say no, and fight back, then what happens? Well, we get steamrolled, as we've been getting steamrolled for the last 30 years. Now, I was thinking about that today as I was going, as I was thinking this through. You know, I made $16 an hour in 1988. The people who are doing the exact same job today, they're making like 13. I mean, we're talking, what, 24, 25 years, 24 years, 25 years? Actually going backwards? And I would say that it's because we've allowed ourselves to be divided. We've allowed ourselves to be put out on an island. You're an individual. You can make your own deal. Which is, you know, just the most idiotic thing. You know, it's when we come together that we're strongest. It's when you're standing with your neighbors. It's when you're standing with your community, whether it be your church, whether it be your workplace, whether it be your neighborhood, a bicycle, whatever. It's when we're united. And the only time these politicians listen, the only time employers listen, is when you have the strength of numbers. And I joke, we've out-procreated the 1%. Yet somehow they're still able to exert complete control over the workplace, over our politicians, over our political, over our judiciary. And I look at this governor that we've got, that budget that he proposed. If that's not going to make you want to go get out in the streets and be angry, I don't know what will. More gutting of education. More allowing our infrastructure to continue to deteriorate. More handouts for special interests and big corporations. The Delaware loophole wide open. The drilling. Drill, baby, drill. And, of course, selling off our assets. What will it take? Because, and I know, I get it. It's really about, and they've sold this to us, this narrow self-interest, this radical self-interest. What's in it for me? You know what's in it for you? You know what being part of a community is for you? It's being part of that community and having that safety and that security and that, hey, you know what? We're going to all do better together. Not, hey, hooray for me and screw the rest of you. That's what's bringing us all down. And it's a sad, sad thing. And my grandfather's generation, I know my grandfather would be ticked off. I know that generation, for what they fought and bled and died for, they would be furious. Quick break, right back after this. Going to talk about the Corbett budget when we get back. Senator Jim Furlow will be here. Stick around.
Yes, it is all about the children. Even after they're born. Rick Smith. You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Michigan Governor Rick Snyder has become the sixth Republican governor to decide to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. The federal government pays all of the cost in the first 3 years and 90% of the cost after that for the Medicaid expansion. The expansion in the Affordable Care Act was designed to bring health insurance coverage to millions of low-income people who don't have it now. The U.S. Supreme Court made the Medicaid expansion optional for states, so many Republican governors are resistant to approving the expansion. Michigan's Snyder joins GOP governors in Arizona, Nevada, North Dakota, New Mexico, and Ohio in approving the Medicaid expansion. About 9,000 New York City school bus drivers and matrons have been on strike now for over 4 weeks. The National Labor Relations Board has ruled the strike is a legal one. Workers represented by Amalgamated Transit Workers Local 1181 are on strike to protect their jobs, their wages, and benefits as New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg tries to take away those protections by bidding out the work to the cheapest private companies. Here's one of the striking workers at a rally in New York.
5 mile strike. The mayor wants to take away our employee provision protection. If my company lose contract, I lose my job. I've been on this job for over 14 years. I love what I do. We all love what we do. We enjoy it. We love working with children. And I refuse to let the mayor take my job and everybody's job away.
Yay!
1181. 1181.
An open pit iron mining bill has cleared two legislative committees in Wisconsin, where Republicans supporting the legislation control both houses. The Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters says the open pit mining bill exempts mining companies from some environmental regulations. The league says the bill will allow Wisconsin waterways to be filled with mining waste, prevent citizens from having input on proposed mines, and subject the state's groundwater to toxins like lead, mercury, and arsenic. Environmental groups and Native American tribes in Wisconsin oppose the mining bill. They say it will allow mining companies to contaminate the state's groundwater and allows mining companies to dump toxic mining waste into sensitive wetlands. A report by the Workers' Rights Consortium says Palermo Pizza violated the University of Wisconsin's Labor Standards Code. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says the report makes it clear that striking workers at Palermo were in fact punished for attempting to exercise basic labor rights at the fourth largest pizza maker in the country. The report says Palermo's manipulated federal immigration enforcement procedures, using them as a pretext to fire 75 striking immigrant workers. The Worker Rights Consortium is an independent labor rights monitoring organization that conducts investigations into labor rights violations around the globe. The Palermo Workers Union is fighting to form a union at Palermo's and has launched a boycott of Palermo pizzas. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
I know many of you are going to be interested in this next subject. Pennsylvania sits within a day's drive of 60% of the nation's population. Every year, nearly $500 billion worth of goods and services move through our state transportation system. Transportation is the bloodstream of our economy. If it fails, our economy fails. However, as you know, the average bridge in our state is 51 years old.
Break your walls, come tumbling down. Break your walls, come tumbling from the walls.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. So he gets it. You know, we're within a day's drive of 60% of the population, centrally located for businesses is one of the most important things. All that stuff about right to work, all that stuff about taxes, nonsense. Location, location, location. 60% of the entire population of the country a day's drive from here. $1 trillion worth of goods through. This is his words. You heard him. If our infrastructure fails, our economy fails. And what does he do? Wow. $1.8 billion on a $6.5 billion need. That, to me, not stellar. But I guess the reality is we're getting it. Although his polling numbers in the tank last week, Quinnipiac pointed out his 42% disapproval rating. And his policies, not so happy either. 18% of the...